Shrimp Podcast.
Of course.
Best in the world.
Yay, yay!
I think I put the wrong thing on there. Hello everyone. Welcome to the first official episode of Comic Nation Radio. I am Mark aka Quorum TV, whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me Booster Cola.
That was real smooth.
Oh, it's smooth like
call you maybe. Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it, Booster.
Don't have Hi, I'm Booster Cola. Welcome to the Comic Nation Radio episode of something. So, haha, good luck. Thank you. Goodbye.
I just was like, well, there you go. Because no one else can give you an intro, you fucking asshole. Anyway, you know, we have another person named Eric or Rick or Drunken Asshole.
Welcome to Comic Nation Radio.
It's like I have an echo or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Welcome to Comic Nation. It's right here. We're real cool.
Well, you guys, we have good cadence. It's not like we're not like every other comic book podcast that's out there now. Anyway, guys and gals, this is the first episode, like I said. It's the beginning of the year as well. So, so far, how has your year been?
It's been great. Comics still are horrible.
Yeah.
See you next week, folks.
I'm actually pretty angry. I'm drinking less and reading comics more, so they're not good. I think actually we should stop this because there's really no reason to have a Comic Nation podcast anymore, unless it's basically just to talk shit about comics.
Well, sadly, we're going to be doing that with this, as well as a little heads up for the people that do know us, because this is a brand new feed, you know, trying to get things rolling and all that stuff. But if you guys don't know, we usually did just talk about comic books, and then we just dabbled into movies and stuff because that's kind of comic book related. However, because this is a radio network, it's a whole big thing. We have more to do. We're gonna have more shows, so we have to expand ourselves from just comic books as well, because Comic Nation could be a overall assumption of the Nerd Nation out there. You know, such a catchy name.
Yeah.
Gotta have that domain. It only cost me $80. But,
ComicNation.com. Go to it. Bitches.
Yeah. Buy our stuff. You know, Booster, no matter what, things change. You know that, right?
Yeah, most of the time.
There's a lot of things that I know for certain. Like the sky and days. If you practice good hygiene, your pants.
Nice try.
What? What? You didn't get it? No, it's Fallout. War never changes.
No one played that game.
Fuck you, dude. It was like the number one game of 2015.
I haven't played it.
You're dumb.
I don't understand why you, Eric, don't play it. It's set in Boston.
I live it. I don't have to play it.
I live it every day of my life.
There's actual recorded footage that game is. Oh.
Not really. It does have really shitty ass.
Are you Yoda? He says actual footage of that game my city is.
I didn't quite say that, but yeah. That was very, very
Yoda.
He
said that exact shit.
Wow.
Nice.
That was the one you picked for this one.
Yeah, I told you that. If you got a big, let me search it.
As you guys don't know, we have a soundboard, and our older podcast, the first time, Combination Live, we had a lot of cool sound bites, and we're starting to build it up again, and I don't know half these. But I just knew.
Yeah,
because
I didn't put descriptions next to them or anything.
It says if you've got a big. It doesn't say Missy Elliott from Ishirvik and Vikingirigirigan.
Play the reverse one.
Oh, no, you got the reverse one.
Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it, and reverse it.
See, I told you I got it in there.
Oh, God. What happened?
What you guys didn't listen to, like no one listened to, is last week we put on line a terrible hour and a half of radio that was basically showing that we don't know what we're doing. And I kept quoting Missy Elliott. So here we go. Thank you.
Wait. You said last week. You mean 2 weeks ago.
Whatever
was
it was.
Episode
I don't,
zero. And Ishirvik and Vikingirigirigan. So whatever. Booster.
Sure. Yeah.
Booster.
Yeah.
You got the comic of the week.
Yeah. Since we've all admitted that comics have been pretty bad lately. And it's no change this week, guys. Surprise, I hate to say it, but my comic of the week, I came from a lot of different things to pick from, and mostly just because I like the artist for this series, and I want to start the year off with something popular because of we all have the Deadpool movie coming out soon and whatever. I'm picking Spider-Man and Deadpool, number one. Did you guys read this book?
I did, just because, I mean, it's kind of funny. It has two iconic characters, especially Deadpool, that's coming out soon. But also, it's written by Joe Kelly.
It's written by Joe Kelly, and it's art by Ed McGuinness. So the old team of Deadpool is on this book. You know, from when it was pretty funny back in the 90s, when it was more funny than it was like a great story. Because I didn't like the original Deadpool series that much. I don't think because I didn't really read it at the time. I'm more in love with Jerry Duggan's and Brian Posehn's Deadpool run than the last couple years. And but this is
not. Are you
not
talking about the Daniel Way one?
No, I'm not talking about. We don't talk about that. So let's not talk about that.
It's sure affecting Ray again.
No. And so yeah, like this Deadpool book, it's pretty good. It takes place like they're fighting Dormammu at the very beginning, and there's like a whole conversation with Deadpool and Spider-Man that talk about like them not touching tips. Being wrapped together and with a webbing, you gotta read it to find out. But anyway, they fight Dormammu, they fight Hydro Man, and they fight a bunch of other stuff in this book. And it's pretty hilarious. And Joe Kelly still knows how to write funny characters. And Ed McGuinness is definitely a great artist. And if you don't know, I mean, like Ed McGuinness draws this over the top cartoon style art, and everyone has muscles on muscles on muscles. I mean, but in thick lines, so it's pretty damn good. I definitely recommend this book. You guys haven't read it, you guys should read it. Because probably my comic of the week, I only read a handful of books this week real quick, and this was probably the one that stood out the most. Just because it's back to being funny books, especially with the new year, I'd rather have funny stuff than depressing, hardcore, serious stuff that I've been reading a lot of indie books based on. I know, Eric, you've been talking about how you read a lot of indie books as well. So yeah. I'm glad to see this being funny. So yeah, that's my pick. What about you guys?
Sadly, I gotta say, I gotta agree with you. This is my comic of the week as well. Because, I read a total of three. I'm gonna read more, of course. But, that out of all the books, this was, like, I guess, the most above average one. I it didn't blow me out of the water. I would say, like, a better team-up book that I recently remembered was Spider-Men. Remember that? That was a while ago.
Oh, yeah, when Morales meets Peter Parker.
Yeah, and I still want to know what the hell happened. I personally... How did that end? Oh, yeah, he found out about, like, what he is. Miles Morales, like who he is in, like because he Googled him, but you didn't see like the response back.
He went back home and he Googled Miles Morales like in the 616.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Mother of God," and it said the A.
Yeah, and then nothing happens, right?
Yeah, we never get a fucking reveal, and we're, I guess we never will, because fucking that universe is gone. A fucking meteor hit it.
Yeah, so it doesn't even matter.
It's fucking bullshit. I hate it. And I hate you if you like it. It reminds me of Alpha. And why did I get on that rant? Oh, yeah, because I'm going to talk about a comic book that I know no one else read. Okay? And this isn't my comic of the week. Okay? This is me getting angry. And because it's the first episode, what have you, well, why not get this out of the way? I'm probably going to bring up this book once in a while. What was it?
Pick the comic book's ass. Go ahead. Verbally.
Oh, yeah. But it's Green Lantern. Green Lantern came out, and it's number 48, I believe. And this is written by Robert Valenti, a guy that took the reins from Geoff Johns on, in my opinion, there's no, like, close second. The best run I've ever read was Geoff Johns' run on Green Lantern.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no matter what you know what? I remember us talking about that on a show. That, like, the week that Robert Valenti was coming out, you're like, oh, no, it's when issue 20 came out, and you're like, you know, this is the best it's going to get.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And when you said that, I was like, well, I mean, he did do a sci-fi book, you know, Exo Man of War or something.
Oh.
And it was a boring Valiant title. I still don't get that book. And I realized when I read it too, I'm like, maybe it's because like it's based on a lot of mythos and it has that writing for it, because I know a lot of Green Lantern books sometimes, especially near the end of Geoff Johns' run, it was kind of, if you were a fan, it was better, but like if you were just walking into it, it kind of like nothing happened. So, you know, regardless, you're always going to have a higher opinion if you're already enjoying what's been going on. Okay, so in a recap, if you haven't read anything about Green Lantern since Geoff Johns has been gone from the book, because I was going to do a video on this, but whatever, I'll do it audio-wise too. First, everyone had an ending in 20, and then all of a sudden, the universe is gone. All those endings get fucked up. Carol Ferris leaves Hal Jordan, so they don't have a kid. And later on, she makes out with Cal Reynard. Motherfucker. And then you have the random breakup of John Stewart had with Fatality, because she's like, I never loved you. It's because I hated you so much that I wanted to have closure, but I can't have closure because I'm around you all the time. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Sounds heavy, Doc.
Shut up. So you have that. Then you have Relic comes out, and Relic is this big thing that he's going to stop the Green Lanterns because from the universe he was a part of, things that were like the Green Lanterns ruined it. And then the Source Wall took him. And then Spaghetti Monsters were impersonating Green Lanterns. And then everyone hates the Green Lanterns. And then Hal Jordan is leading the Green Lanterns through this. And then he decides to act like he beats the shit out of his friend and takes all the blame, and then grows his hair out long, gets rid of his ring, and wears a gauntlet that oh, God, what the hell is his name?
I don't know. Who are you talking about?
I would forget about this, of course. I'm talking about basically once Robert Valenti has gone on Green Lantern. I'm trying to sum up it as much as I can, and I'm actually doing a good job. Kronos? Yeah, Kronos, yeah. That gauntlet that he had. Hal Jordan has that, and he has he's a vigilante. And that's all that's been going on. Oh, yeah, and the Green Lantern Corps is gone. And the other corps are being killed off. That's all that's been going on in that goddamn book. And you're thinking to yourself, that's pretty fucking stupid. Or, it couldn't be that boring. Yeah, it is. it's fucking boring.
I haven't thought the book was that bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay. All right, so, this rant is getting... I mean, I guess it's a little filler because we don't have that many comic books. But, like, the rant is building up to this. Green Lantern number 20... number 48, whatever it's called. He has... After a terrorist attack, happened in Coast City, Batman's in there, and although this book... I hate the series because it does this. You get shitty-ass... issues and you're like, I'm going to drop it next time, I swear to God. And then it gives you this okay issue that's passable. And then you're like, maybe the next one. And that's how it grabs you. Because you want two absolutely shitty ones and you won't get them in a row. But slowly, everything's reverting to issue 50, which is, and they've been hinting at this since, the reveal of him, I think it was the last issue, of Parallax. From another universe, that the Hal Jordan Parallax, the one that was in Final Night, and also the one that was in Zero Hour, and
that's like the Convergence. It's from the. It's the same. It's the same guy from Convergence. Is that what they're getting at?
Yes, it is. But I also realized too that what Robert Valenti has been doing this whole time, when Robert Valenti took the book, he literally. Was only used to reading Parallax Hal Jordan. Because I didn't see the source wall be referenced at fucking all in Green Lantern since Final Night. That was the last time I saw the source wall referenced in like a space like Green Lantern thing. It may have been in like something like from Grant Morrison or... Or,
well, it's always been there. It just hasn't been like a prevalent piece of, material. Like half, it hasn't been like a character in the book.
It kind of started to be that way since Robert Valenti's been there. Because
he put that one asshole in it,
Yeah, a Relic, and then you also have the entities in there. Then you have I think it was the Forever Evil tie-in with Blackhand. No, it wasn't Blackhand. It was somebody. It was the
Blackhand
couple,
touched
I think.
It, and then everything he touches turns into the stone.
Yeah, which doesn't make fucking sense. It's all about this fucking wall. And I remember the first time reading that when I was a kid when I read Final Night. If you guys don't know, that was the death of Hal Jordan when he was Parallax. Bad guy. What fucking a lot
like
of goddamn fucking people got pissed. No, it's getting to me now because I'm finally realizing what he's doing. You see, in this issue, Parallax is like, oh, I feel Coast City, my city. But I know what I have to do to make sure that it doesn't get destroyed. I must kill Hal Jordan. Motherfucker, how goddamn cliche you gotta be? Because now I know what Robert Valenti has filler for the next fucking 10 issues. That they're gonna punch each other and like it's gonna be a big explosion and someone's gonna come out of there. And you're gonna think Hal Jordan's fine. Turns out it's gonna be fucking Parallax Hal Jordan role reversal and he's gonna be the Green Lantern for the next 10 issues. Or something like that. Until Hal Jordan gets out of the parallel universe or something that he's stuck in and we're with shenanigans. or it'll be something stupid just because issue 50 in the last three series have had Parallax in it. They just want to have Parallax in it.
Yeah, a lot of DC Comics are kind of doing the a rewrite of their original histories with the New 52 paint, if you will. They did it with Nightfall, with the Batman being Jim Gordon now, and they're doing it with the Powerless with Superman. It's like a lot of same storyline beats redone in with the New 52 paint job.
But I think literally their issue 50, for some reason, the last three volumes of Green Lantern have had issue 50 have Parallax on it or involved with it. You had the big change, of course, when he becomes Parallax. Then you have the last one, which was in Blackest Night, when he had to go with Parallax again to fight the Spectre, because the Spectre was afraid of him. And then you have this shit. I just hate it because I'm like a battered fucking wife, dude. Like, legitimate. I keep fucking going back to this shit, and I don't know why.
Hey, check your privilege, bro.
I picture a Green Lantern comic book wearing a wife beater.
You said you had dinner ready, bitch. I'm sorry, don't hit me.
You're up for a minute if it's wet yet.
No. Oh, shit. So, yeah. Oh, no, it was an okay issue. But that fucking ending, though. That fucking ending. Like, dude, all right, he's interacting with Batman. He's interacting with Batman, and they're having a fisticuffs and shit, right? Like every other goddamn fucking team up that we've been seeing since the goddamn fucking 52. However, I mean, it's not over the top, but it's not like that over the top cool thing that you usually get with those interactions. On top of that, too, Hal Jordan still has that stupid fucking gauntlet that I hate. I hate that fucking gauntlet. It's
well,
so
get
fucking
used to it.
Can I?
Don't fucking tell me that.
Do you know why Jeff Johns should always just write Green Lantern?
Because no one else has done it right.
Well, you guys read Justice League last week, right? I know we're talking about this week's books, but
yes.
Last week's Justice League, it was just dialogue between Green Lantern and Batman, and then you see Batman in his Mobius chair, and then it cuts over to Green Lantern just in a recliner. hovering next to him in a recliner.
The rumor is that that is going to be the setup of the Justice League. It's what the Justice League is going to be in a little bit. So they're all going to get their powers back. Green Lantern's going to be Green Lantern again, and Superman's going to be Superman again. So don't have to worry. But they haven't, like, that's like the big mystery of the storyline. So
I just think
the thing, though, like it's the journey isn't worth it. Okay, I know that I'm going to get what I want. But it's not worth it. It's like you get fucking, like, the best fucking, like, you know, cookies around Christmas time, right?
Oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
they do.
Throughout the whole year, you don't fucking think about, hey, at least I'm going to get those Christmas cookies when, you know, you're having a bad day. No! You just fucking want the goddamn Christmas cookies because it's Christmas time, and it's you're used to that.
I just bought some Christmas cookies at Publix. They're on discount, and they are just out of this world. You ever been there before, Quorum?
Yes, I actually been to a Publix when I went to Florida, like the three times in my life.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, Christmas cookies, what? Y'all.
Christmas cookies, y'all.
Y'all.
Do they sell that at Outback?
Please.
I'm going to fucking reference that goddamn restaurant to you. Every fucking episode.
You're driving it right into the fucking hell.
I'm the best at that, dude. I'm the best at driving that shit. But by the way, you were talking about Justice League, right?
Yeah.
Why not bring that up, for example, Justice League, because that technically came out last week. I mean, that was 2016. So, how'd you like that?
I thought Justice League was good. I actually don't remember the whole thing because I only read it once. But the only thing that really popped into my head was that the Green Lantern with the reclining chair part, because it was freaking hilarious. I literally stopped and just laughed at that page for like 20 minutes.
That was really
but
because I was speed reading through like the shit I've been missing. But like
I was doing the same thing, and that's what I remember. And it was just basically more of the same though. It was more of the same like all the superheroes is. Gods, pretty much, but Superman kind of has his composure back, but I guess he can lose it at any moment or something like that, and he's trying to fight Wonder Woman, and she's like, no, I'm not going to fight you, because, you know, we're friends and everything, and then Steve Trevor's just like, oh, he's a bad guy now, I'm going to try to bang Wonder Woman again, and I hope that she's having it. That's literally all I can really remember from that issue last week.
I like that. That's like every issue of this series of Justice League right now has just been like, oh my god, what's the next big thing happening? Oh my god, the next big thing's happening. Oh my god. And it's like a lot of things are happening, but nothing is like kind of like clashing. Like, I want to see what's going on with Luthor. So I can't wait to see.
I like his look.
Yeah. He looks funny, actually.
They all come together at the end of this issue.
No. Well, I mean, you have Owlman just standing there saying,
oh,
you guys
right,
have to work together.
Right.
By the way, I murder people.
Yeah, we got all that back. So they're all like, oh, yeah, that's right. So Grid's basically back now. And, oh, my God. Power Ring finally took over.
It's like, the crime syndicate is coming back.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
But now they're going to have to work with the Justice League to fight, Mobius, who fused with Anti-Monitor?
Which, I actually like it because it's starting to kind of remind me of the Monitor. You know, his look is kind of dead on if you're going to make him, like, Tron-based.
I don't know. What they're going to do. I'm just, like, enjoying the ride for that, like, what Justice League is right now, because it's, like, one of the only ones that is still really good. That and Batman have been really good. And if you guys have been reading Batman, the last issue was, holy shit, the last page.
Yeah, it's almost over.
Oh, wait, are you talking about Hoo-Hoo-Hee-Hee? That
did
guy,
you read it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last page, he sits on a bench, and he's like, it's Joker. I was like, what?
Wow, that's a shitty setup, what you just said. It was literally, he sat on the bench, hey, why are you here? Because something bad happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
really?
You know.
Me too. Smile. It's a joke.
You know.
Yeah. That was cool. Those moments I like. And the funny thing is, since the New 52, we had all these great books coming out. Justice League wasn't that great. Mine should be before the New 52, because they had the
Justice League was horrible.
Yeah. So, and it was just called JLA, I think. No, it was Justice League of America. Never mind. But before the New 52, what were the two books that were, like, the most dominant from DC?
I don't know.
It was Batman and Green Lantern, but Green Lantern sucks. So
yeah,
just give it to Jeff Johns, and there you go, Justice League. So you still have two books. However, on the Marvel side, you gotta search. Like I said, I've been reading Carnage, but like that's it. I read the Deadpool Spider-Man book, but that's mostly because it was a number one issue, and I'm not gonna read A-Force, because I ain't a feminist.
You know what was good, though? And it was during the whole Secret Wars thing, which somehow Secret Wars is still going on, but all the one-shots are over, and the rest of the story, or the rest of the world, has moved on, but was Old Man Logan. That was like one of the only spinoffs that I read and enjoyed reading, because it was still pretty cool, because it was that same character. And they're actually, because that was popular, that's going to be its own comic again, along with X-Men 92 and A-Force, which came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And probably a few of them.
Yeah, but A-Force seems like a stupid book.
Uncanny X-Men I read, issue number one, and I'm like, I'm just so sick and tired of number one issues. Like, it's ridiculous.
I'm actually liking it because of the timing frame, because, you know, we're starting over. Number one issues are better to get into. However, like, there's no motivation to these. They're just fucking spinoffs of shit that hasn't been explained to us yet.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, this one starts off with Magneto, Sabretooth, Psylocke, Angel, and I don't even know who the other chick is. I really don't. I don't know if she's the new... I don't think she's new, but I just don't know her, and they don't even mention her name. She's bulletproof,
what,
though. So
what color is her outfit?
They all wear the same now. It's like a black-red thing.
So black-red ass. Black dead ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of...
Hold on. I think he called her something. And she, I probably know who she is, but she just looks different in this. But I know Angel apparently has no mind of his own anymore. He's being controlled by them. And Psylocke is trying to get into his head to see if he's still in there, but he's not. I don't know. Because I didn't read any X-Men. I'm like, I'm going to just check out Uncanny X-Men issue one. It'll be fine. Sabretooth calls her Monet.
Monet? Hey, bulletproof Monet!
And Frail. Another one they call her, so I don't know. But she doesn't like that name. So.
Frail?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, is it like calling like a big, fat, like tall dude tiny? It's like that because she's
maybe.
Bulletproof?
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Stupid.
And basically this whole issue is them, these new X-Men, going after this container called, it's called Someday. And what it is this company that takes mutants and freezes them because they want to be frozen and wake up at a time where there's no more mutant genocide and no more of that gas that's going on. It's killing mutants. And they go in and stop it. And like, why do you want to do this to yourself? This is ridiculous. We need all the mutants we can get because we're all dying. And then they set them free. One of the guys is a healer, helps out some people, and then he gets killed at the end. So there was really no point of saving him. And he gets killed. He gets killed by the Dark Riders. I don't know if all these people are new or what, or just characters coming in from before that are just different now. I don't know. This Marvel stuff is X-Men especially. They're just not doing great with their X-Men books, and I think it's all tied into the movie stuff because Marvel doesn't want people reading X-Men or having anything to do with X-Men because they want to get the rights back. And they think if they pull crap like this, then Fox is going to be like, oh, here you go, you can have the rights back. But that's not going to happen.
That is the dumbest, if that was for real the reason why they're doing it, that would be the dumbest fucking, way to go about that. Because, the nerd base, yeah, comic books are still kind of, there, but the movies are going to be there longer, as well as the base for viewing of that is at a higher scale. And Fox has invested so much money. Unlike Sony with Spider-Man only making 5 movies, they've made, 9 already or something?
And I think I read that Marvel wasn't going to make any new characters, because if they did make anything new, it automatically goes to Fox, the rights.
Yeah,
to it.
Any new mutants go back to Fox now.
So they're going to just call them Inhumans then?
Yep.
That's fucking stupid.
Which is so dumb.
Oh, hey, this is news for a while, Corn TV, comic person.
I know this. I'm bringing it up on a podcast.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. This is an entertainment thing. You jackass.
That's another reason why I think they killed off Wolverine. It's because they don't want him to be around because they don't want people to see him anymore.
They don't want to support his shenanigans either.
Exactly, because obviously, he's one of the most popular characters in the Marvel Universe, and people will keep buying his books and everything, so it'll keep him popular. If they kind of do this, they kill him off, they brush him under the rug for a while, people could start to forget, I guess. And they bring in the new Wolverine, which is X-23 in a Wolverine costume.
And it's not great.
Dude, that's what Marvel's been doing. Like, this whole... I hate Marvel right now the most, because they're...
Marvel right...
Marvel, right now. Not Marvel now. They're like DC Comics in 5. DC comic books. When DC started getting stale. You know, you already had the holograms go past and all that shit. And you had all these characters, except for Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. Well, no, Wonder Woman was one of the ones that were replaced, too. You had all these newer versions of the set characters. You had Barry Allen replaced with Wally West. You had Kyle Rayner replacing Hal Jordan. You had Donna Troy, for a brief time, replacing fucking Wonder Woman. Like, and Green Arrow was replaced by his son. That wasn't even a fucking reference. Like, they just wanted a younger person. You have all these legacy characters, and yeah, that builds a mythos and, like, something to the name, but DC realized that the original will always be tied to that name. Always. I mean, except for the two that had, you know, Flash, Jay Garrison, and Alan Scott, because that's mostly rights issues for creator, you know, use. But other than that, if you're originally the one with that name, stay with that name. Don't have, like, number two. Like, Blue Beetle is the... I guess he's in the same range because that was a Charleston character, right? The original?
Yeah, it was... He's Ted Kord's the second Blue Beetle, and then Jaime is the third.
But the original Blue Beetle, though, was technically never in DC Comics.
The first one was never in a DC Comics. Well, I mean, he was retconned in, but the first two Blue Beetles were Charleston Comics characters, yes.
Yeah, so, like, that's more like a Hal Jordan, Barry Allen thing. And that's Silver Age. That's still referencing, like, It's still old. You know, and now you have Captain America, he's the Falcon. So that just proves that the Falcon's not a credible, like, character. You know? Because he has to be Captain America. And boy...
He throws a shield and flies around like a goddamn eagle.
Yeah. He's America. Plus two. Not plus two. Plus two. America. And then, what, Iron Man, he's the same, right?
Yeah, but he's all, like, he's weird, too. It's not the same Tony Stark, but it is, but it isn't. It's, like, him, like, I think it's the ultimate Tony Stark, the way that he's acting and everything. It's weird, because he's still kind of, like, the old, like, money-grabbing, like, women-loving... But yeah, he's like a younger kitty attitude. It's weird.
I think it's kind of fun.
I don't know what... To be completely honest with you, Marvel is like... I don't know what the fuck is going on. My favorite book in Marvel right now is... one of them is... I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty main... It's pretty stayed the same. Because it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on Earth, I think. And, you know, Star-Lord is now King of Spartax. And you have Kitty Pryde is now the leader of the Guardians, which is fine. Because, like, there was always that thing between Kitty Pryde and Star-Lord. But, like, that book is really pretty much been the same. And, like, I don't understand why they're not being clear and concise with their plans. Like, it's just a jumbled mess, in my opinion, right now. And the other book I really like is Spidey, which is a Spider-Man book that takes place in Spider-Man's early days. A retelling.
Isn't it based towards, younger readers?
Yeah, but it's, like, his old stories, but, like, redone.
Right.
I really like that.
Hold on, didn't they do that a long time ago, like in the 90s?
Probably.
Yeah.
With Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did, and it was okay, but it wasn't anything memorable. This is done by my favorite artist of all time, Nick Bradshaw, so that's also the reason why I like it.
too bad. Wait, is that the new one?
Was it?
There's two new X-Men books. One with Old Man Logan and, like, Storm.
That's X-Men.
I think it's Extraordinary.
Yeah, Extraordinary X-Men.
They have, like, the young, the old team that came from the past is now the new team. But what I like about it is Cyclops looks like Cyclops, even though he's younger. He has just a gold visor with, like, the half mask with the hair. He's not looking like, he doesn't look like a dominatrix.
He doesn't have a big fucking X on his face.
Yeah, he does. But there are terrorists now called the Sons of Cyclops, and they wear those masks.
That's so stupid. Why? People.
I don't know. I guess they thought because Cyclops, the original Cyclops, was like a martyr now because he's dead, and he was basically the voice of all mutants.
That's something they haven't clarified either. How is Cyclops dead?
Sorry, I hate what Marvel did to Cyclops. They turned him into like Magneto, basically. Like Cyclops would never do that shit.
Yeah, well, he did because you know he's depressed about Jean Grey dying again.
Oh, again? In the 20th time now?
I don't know.
Oh, and that's another part of this Extraordinary X-Men. Like, Old Man Logan's in it because he got thrown into this universe, and now he's part of the X-Men. But you know how all the time Wolverine always had, like, in his mind, he thinks he's talking to Jean Grey. Well, at one point, it's like, well, I am. I'm actually at your trailer, so open the door. Because it's a younger Jean Grey, and he had no idea that she existed in this universe. So, like, her and him are, like, hanging out now, and it's kind of creepy because he's, like, probably, like, 70 years old, and she's, like, 16.
It's so ridiculous. Marvel is...
It's only been, like, 2 issues, but I haven't sat there and was like, this is ridiculous, this is stupid.
See, I can't stand all this X-Men stuff. Like, every issue they're fighting with, oh, my God, the Terrigen Mist, we can't breathe it, make sure we have, like, a shot or something. Like, I'm reading the Uncanny Avengers, the new series, is that what it's called? It's with Deadpool on the team, which it's kind of funny because it's like all the Avengers are like, we have to let Deadpool on. He paid the most and stuff like that. And Cable just came in the last issue and he's like, here, you have to take this breathing tablet thing to not let the Terrigen Mist affect you. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm so tired of this. It doesn't create compelling storylines by doing this. By alienating your characters because of an ownership rights with the film. It just is so annoying.
I know where you're getting at, but the thing that I also think is bullshit on their part, that they could make money together by working together and pushing it, like, hell, they do not have a problem pushing Deadpool. You know, fuck, remember around the time that fucking X-Men Origins came out, when we got the first humongous big bang of Deadpool shit. Mother of God, they didn't give a shit that was with Fox at the time. And they can do the same thing now because a movie's coming out. This is going to be the biggest goddamn time to do it. And now it's like, we'll just, you know, pass. Oh, yeah, by the way, he killed his parents and a clown came out of them. Like, what the fuck are you writing? I'm trying to power read through these things, too, because I'm trying to catch up. I'm, like, almost there. And, like, I read that shit, and then I read the Parallax, you know, I must kill Hal Jordan. And, like, you know, Carnage was all right, but that was cliche as fuck, too.
Yeah. Have you guys been reading any... I've been reading Action Comics still, and Batman and Robin Eternal. Did you guys read Eternal?
I have, but I haven't read them yet. Like, I have a
story. Batman and Robin Eternal is one of those series that's, like, every week coming out. So, I get them I buy them digitally because I cannot have another weekly series like that. Because I bought all the Future's End like an idiot. And so Batman and Robin Eternal is pretty good. It's about Cassandra Cain and her backstory with the Batman family. I think it's really fun because, like, Cassandra Cain was, like, one of my favorite Batgirls. And she's, like, the most mysterious one you want to know more about. And in this series, they talk about the mother of all these killers and everything like that. And they're raised basically as children to be, like, killer kids, like, for, like, a master. And so Batman, it takes place from Dick Grayson's point of view, where he's trying to figure out this mystery of, like, the mother and, like, these kids and everything. And he keeps having these flashbacks to how when he was growing up with Bruce, like, Bruce wanted a better Robin and how, like, Robin failed him. But you can tell that it's kind of, like, skewed a little bit. Like, it's not really what Bruce was saying. Like, it was all an act, kind of, like, to get him to figure out what this mother group was doing. And it's just really interesting to see Cassandra team up and then fight against some of the Bat family. And there was a cool team up a couple issues ago, Cormuda like this, where Red Hood and Bane teamed up against the Order of Saint Dumas, and they had to fight Azrael. It was
pretty
good.
Wait, Oh, yeah, that was the name of the thing. Okay, never mind. I was like, Saint Dumas. I thought that was his name, but it was like, no, that's John Paul Valley.
John Paul Valley was in it, and it was Duke of the Two premiere, like his first appearance, and he kicked Bane's ass.
Well, I mean,
it was
technically that already happened.
Well, yeah, but it was really good. And if you guys are looking for like a weekly series to catch up on, it's like at least a fun little contained story. The Batman Robin Eternal storyline has been pretty good, especially if you want a good Batman book that's consistently action packed, mixed with the whole Bat family. I mean, a Batman book is really good, but you have to like the whole fact that Batman is being played by Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
Whereas this Batman Robin Eternal book, it takes place in the flashbacks of Dick Grayson as Robin and Batman and their journeys together. And then it flashes back to Dick Grayson dealing with what's going on now with the rest of the Bat family. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But this year, if we're talking about like end of year stuff, because I know we don't have much time left, what did you guys think your best book of the year was? What was your favorite book of 2015?
Oh God!
We didn't do a show for like 10 months.
It wasn't 10 months. It was 3 months. Mm-hmm. No,
really?
No,
I thought it was February. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
was
yeah,
it
go
February?
Ahead. Yeah,
I'm not sure. I guess Justice League.
Oh, we talked about like the Justice League with Darkseid War, the Darkseid Antimonitor War, and it was a great storyline. But like, what would you say, Eric?
I mean, did it have to start this year?
No. Just like your favorite book that you enjoyed this year.
I think it was
The Fade Out.
Brubaker, Sean Phillips. It actually literally just ended this week. Number 12. And it was just an epic, like, noir story that just kind of kept... It was like a murder mystery, whodunit kind of situation. It just kept you on your toes the entire time. And it ended basically the same way it began. And I guess the way a noir series should end, where you're still depressed. Like, there's no happy ending. You know, you find out the way the girl dies, and it was basically... There was no huge conspiracy against it. It was just... I mean, she was murdered, yeah, but it wasn't like, oh, this guy did it because of this reason. It's like, no, this FBI agent killed her because he wanted to get information out of her, and she wouldn't, and he was drunk, and he strangled her by accident. That's pretty much it. The guy, the main character, just ended up being drunk in the bathtub just by accident. So the end of it, he basically just drinking a bottle of whiskey, walking in the middle of the street, like, this sucks. And that's basically how it literally ends, with him just getting drunk, walking out into the street. And it was pretty epic. So that's it.
That type of story, though. I mean, I know what you're talking about, because the best way of it ending would be doing better than breaking even type stories.
I mean, with these kind of stories, you can't really end on a happy note, because then it really wouldn't be noir, I guess.
Yeah,
I always,
enough Max Payne to know that.
I mean, literally, like, in this last issue, like, his... Spoilers, even though I already spoiled it, but in the second to last issue, like, him and his best friend, Gil, are trying to uncover what happened, and then Gil gets shot, dies. And then in this issue, the main character, Charlie, ends up banging his wife. After he's dead. And he's like, oh, I just slept on her couch, and then she brought me into her bedroom. Literally, like, a couple weeks after her husband died.
Agreement sex for the win!
I'd have to say my favorite comic book of the year, it was a Marvel book. I know we've been shit-talking Marvel for a while, but my favorite Marvel book was Star Wars. I mean, with the hype behind Star Wars has been consistently just a great quality book. I haven't had a problem with any issues. It had some really crazy moments. You had the Boba Fett fight at the beginning of the year that came out of nowhere. Like, holy shit. When he was blind and he basically fought Boba Fett. And then there was the biggest thing from the last issue, I think it was issue 12 or 13, where everyone had a lightsaber. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Like, they all got, like, thrown into that ring to help Luke, and they all just grabbed sabers. Like, it wasn't like Luke, Leia, Chewie, and Han. Yeah, all grabbed lightsabers, and it's like, we got your back, Luke. I was like, oh, shit.
I don't remember if Chewie had one, but that would be kind of hilarious. I just thought it'd be seen.
He doesn't need one. That gun is OP that he has already.
Yeah. There was that, and my runner-up, I mean, because that series was consistently good. And then my other series that ended this year, which had, like, the best single issue, which you guys are just going to be all hatery about, is Multiversity, the Ultra.
Oh, you like Ultra, that crap, huh?
Ultra Comics. It was really
that's
trippy.
The Muscular Bunny. That was a good issue.
What was?
The issue with the Muscular Bunny.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that was cool. The last issue basically opened up for the Multiversity 2, which is going to be, no, the Multiverse 2, which Grant Morrison's going to be writing, like, everything about it. It's going to create his own Grant Morrison DC Universe.
Oh, God. Don't say that, man. It's going to be trippy as balls.
Yeah. I need more trip. Anyway, if we want to go to sales numbers for the year, I found this on the, this is on Yahoo News financials. To the, you know, Hollywood Reporter, the top selling comic books of the year were. Well, let me just ask you guys: What do you think the number one selling comic book of the year was? This is single issues.
I don't think it's Batman. I think it's got to be the event things.
Number one selling issue of the year. What do you guys think it is, Gorm?
Did Death of Deadpool come out this year or last year?
You're way off the path anyway. Eric, what do you think?
I don't know. Batman something or other. One of those Batman issues.
The number one selling comic book of 2015 was Star Wars number one.
Oh, shit. You were just talking about that. I should have said that.
It came out in January. Yeah, it sold 985,000 copies. If you guys think of it in relative numbers, X-Men number one sold, like, what, 2 million? They put out 2 million copies of that book, almost 2 million. And, like, the comic book industry is, like, you can tell it how it looks right now. The number two comic book issue was Secret Wars number one, which only sold 527,000.
Wait, hold on. Does it say how much issue two made?
It's not on here.
That was a lot.
Then number three, holy crap, it's that one dude that does that show, Adventure Time, The Bravest Warriors, Tales from the Hollow John, number one.
What?
502,000 copies. Number four is Orphan Black, number one.
What the fuck?
I don't know either. This is weird. Number five is Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, number one.
What?
I bought that. It was good.
Yeah, everyone was looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then the number six is Star Wars, Vader Down, number one.
I never read Vader Down. I'm surprised it wasn't the Shattered Empire one, because that actually is the first in-continuity comic.
Yeah.
That had to be after.
And it was boring, too.
But at least you get to see Poe Dameron's parents.
Yeah, Number seven, Invincible Iron Man number one, which I have no idea why. That book was horrible.
Because people are dumb, and every time you have an Iron Man book, the number one issue does really well, and then it drops
down. That's why Marvel didn't want to do it with X-Men, because it would be the same way if they were doing it good. Like, because Iron Man's so popular, why? Because 2008, the movie.
How many goddamn fucking number one issues of X-Men have you, like, not just live through, since you've been reviewing comic books, how many number one issues of X-Men, like their main series, have you seen being released? Probably about
three.
Six, right?
Yeah. There's been a lot, and it's
still
shitty.
I just bought all of them. They're still in my long box somewhere. All the variants.
I have all 27 variants as well.
I don't think it's good.
Nothing's going to beat 52 different variants for Dark Knight 3 The Master Race.
What?
Dude, I was talking to Oh, man. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and I was talking to him originally about The Dark Knight 3, and I told him how many covers were there, and I talked to him again next week. He goes, it's your fault. I'm like, what is it? He goes, I bought every single one. I'm like, are you kidding?
How was that possible?
He went online and just literally bought
eBay.
Every single one.
Yeah, but there's like,
even
there's
the
like
ones
a one in,
yeah,
there's
he bought all
1,000.
He bought all of them.
This kid
he's
I
like,
know bought the 1 in 1,500, the 1 in 500 variant, and he sold it for like $400. I was like, how the hell did you do that?
He's like, dude, my wife killed me. I'm like, oh, you spent a lot of money.
You deserve
and he's
it.
He's like, I'll do that. He's like, it's the same thing in each book. And the issue, the funny part is, the issue is so boring.
Yeah, nothing happened that first issue.
Well,
I liked it, but nothing happened.
Well, the most money, though, like, let's be completely honest, the only reason why legitimately you should be buying floppies are because of, like, the variant covers, not because of what's in it, because, hell, you can just read it digitally. I mean,
Well,
it's like the Harley Quinn's little black book thing they're doing now. You get three different versions of a book. It's in a little poly bag, so you can't see what it is.
Yeah, I have it.
And it's kind of like a blind bag thing. You know, you open it up, it's like, oh, cool, look at this. Like, I just got, I forget which issue it was, but it was a Jim Lee sketch variant of Harley Quinn, and I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. So it's, and
it,
they're not
stuff,
too much.
Stuff like that and variant covers kill the comic book industry. I'm serious, because of aftermarket selling.
No.
The company
It was Marvel that did that, and then they did the collector's
it's a promotion they've always done, and a ploy comic book companies have always done. But I'm saying, though, variant books, like, B covers are fine. But I'm talking about, like, variant, like, the one in, after you go 1 in 10, it's like, the variant covers, all they do is kill the comic book industry, because it's like GameStop for comics. They don't make any money after the initial sale.
Yeah, but think about it, though. There's no other, like, I guess, value to comic books nowadays. Since the fucking Silver Age, there's nothing.
They're killing the market of value on variants and on rare things because they produce so much. Like, how many variant covers of Star Wars number one re-releases that were there for number of for Star Wars that just made the value of any of them go down to zero?
Well,
it's
yeah.
just like, and like,
it's like, the 90s with fucking Spider-Man number one with from Todd McFarlane, remember?
Yeah,
how many variant
I
covers
have,
they had of those? Oh my god, I thought it was like, I found it in the 50 cent bin, but then when I did my research, I'm like, oh, there was like a million of these. It's not special anymore.
How many people waited in line to get Death of Superman number one, and like, people are interviewed like, oh, I'm going to put my kids through college with this. It's like, no, you're not, because there's 100,000 still sitting in a warehouse somewhere. Or 100 million, nobody wants.
Because people, I mean, still to this day, I have an uncle that gave me a whole big box of, like, these older comic books. Mind you, they're mostly Bronze Age. And he's like, oh, sell these for me. I'm like, dude, you're going to get, like, $10 for this. And, like, I found, like, two that were, like, probably on the scale. And, mind you, like, coins or, like, any collectible things, it's all on the person that buys it of the value that they're going to get. Except for, like, I guess silver, gold age, of course, but silver age is like the modern man, like you'll get $500 for it. I'm talking about like, you know, Green Lantern, first appearance of Black Hand, or first appearance of Sinestro, and it depends on if it's like the rarity and all that stuff. Because I have all these silver age things, and I, like, yeah, they're in a box, but I vowed a long time ago that unless I'm just buy a comic book store and I'll just buy a couple floppies, I'm going to get it digitally. Because there's no
point.
And Booster, I've seen your collection. You got a lot of books, but there's going to be a time and place where you're like going to be like, fuck, I can't sell these, really.
I do want to, yeah,
you
I
have
agree with
all
you totally.
These things with, like, the, these are all signed.
Gigantic bowl with a bunch of comics.
But, like, I did just sell a Harley Quinn number one, the Adam Hughes variant, for $150.
Yeah, but really? That's $150, but, like, mind you, for that year.
Call me out.
Yeah, I do, too. But, yeah.
I wouldn't get rid of it, though, because I get it for myself, you know?
Exactly what I do. But then I have people come up to me and ask me for them, and they know that I have so many signed books or whatnot. But, going back to, like, finishing this list real quick. Darth Vader number one was number eight at 264,000 copies. This makes me real mad. This next one, Spider-Gwen number one with 254,000.
It's an interesting concept. I see why that would be on
there. Stupid. Princess Leia.
Zero issue.
Princess Leia number one, 253,000 is number 10. But and then they noted though, you know, a lot of these things for number one is Star Wars number one, for example, went through multiple reprintings throughout the year, and the final sales figure had an upwards of 1 million copies. But the initial run of I think it's the first and second printing had that 985,000, which is still impressive for today's numbers. DC was the ultimate failure with only 27% of the market share versus Marvel's 42% of the market. 42. And then, you know, Image had the most, had the top selling trades with the Saga series.
Yeah, Saga. Saga and still Walking Dead. Saga is so fucking weird. It is so fucking weird. I cannot get into it.
And I love Grant Morrison, and I can't read
it. I know. That's why I'm like, dude, why aren't you reading this? It kind of, what was that other thing that it was also another goddamn fucking trippy book from Image. Oh god. Oh, why can't I think of it? It had some guy. He was like a cowboy, but he was really death. And like
East of West.
Yeah, that's still going on. Hell, so, Sex Criminals is still going on. I remember that first issue. Your dick is glowing. Great.
I forget, on Vox.com, which is a Vox is a media website that talks. It's basically like an all like a. It's a main stream. It's like a pretty much a main like a. It's not like an independent like source of like news or anything like we are or whatever. But their top 12 books of the year. Or like, I'll just go through them real fast. Secret Wars, Bombshells, which Bombshells was boring as hell. I cannot believe that.
Don't tell me, is Saga number one?
I don't know. I'm going down the list right now. Book of Death by Valiant, which I'm glad to see a Valiant book on here because they need some love. Huck by Image. I didn't read Huck, but I really wanted to see it. It was like Superman if he was like Forrest Gumpy.
Yeah.
Lumberjanes, which I had no idea about. Bitch Planet, never read about, but I saw it had a funny name. Bitch Planet, yeah. Grayson was number six, which I loved Grayson. It's been really good. Plutona by Image, don't know. Monstrous by Image, I saw it, I didn't read it. The Wicked plus the Divine. I did read some of this. This is by Jeff Lemire, I think. I'm not sure. Is it? I don't know, whatever. Paper Girls, which I did not read. It was weird. Miss Marvel, I didn't get that whole hype about that. Even though I appreciate it.
I remember I read that book. I forced myself to read it. I'm like,
Miss Marvel was number one.
Miss Marvel?
Yep. Then like runners up were Jupiter's Circle, which is really good. Midnighter, and then I Hate Fairyland, I guess. I don't know what that is. It's that one had a variant that said F Fairyland, I remember that. But anyway, we gotta wrap it up. But I just wanted to tell everyone, like, you know, what's your most excited book for 2016? Quorum, you want to start off, or do you have one?
I'll go last.
Okay. Eric, you want to go, or you want me to go?
Yeah, I can go. I'm still pretty excited for The Dark Knight 3, to be honest. Like, I think it just had a lot of hype with it. And one of the things I like most about it is the little mini-comics inside. I don't know if you guys have read those ones at all.
The one with Adam was really good.
Well, the Adam and everything, yeah.
That was in the first issue.
Yeah, but I'm just hoping that this series does well and actually is good. Like, I don't want it to, like, for what it's doing right now, it's kind of, I don't know, it seems like it's going to go in a different direction than I thought it would. So I don't know if I'm going to like it or not, but I'm still pretty.
I just hope it doesn't go the same direction as Dark Knight Strikes Again.
Yeah. I think it might even go, like, further and be just really weird. But I'm hyped up about it, so that's what I'm anticipating. That's what I'm hoping for. So hopefully it's good. And if it's not, then I'm just going to have to bitch slap for him.
What? Why?
Yeah.
I'm the one that's staying away from
it. Yeah, but you're closer.
I'm corrosive?
You're closer to me. Just as
wife. Oh, I thought you said I was corrosive. I'm like, I'm... I'm a metal?
you're too metal for me.
Am I a metal being?
Ish. You're too metal for me, man.
I think my most anticipated comic of 2016 is to see where this little book called Lois and Clark Superman book is going.
I fucking hate you.
Because
I fucking hate you, dude. You took my pick.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Great.
I wanted to be the cool person that was going to talk about the book that that no one's talking about.
All right, I can say something else. That's fine.
No. You already said it. I'll pick another one.
It's the thing I love about it is that it has an old Superman from the old universe and Lois, kind of like the whole Crisis on Infinite Earth, you know, kind of retelling. And I love how like they intertwine like Superman trying to stop old things from happening in the new world, and how different the Superman is. And they really show it. And I just really enjoy this book, and it's only like issue 2, and it's just so enjoyable so far. And then another one I'd run her up is anything Star Wars, because I'm on the Star Wars hype train right now.
Yeah.
And it's just really good. And the Star Wars book is good. I want to see some more stuff that takes place between episodes 6 and 7, six and seven, to try to like build this world, because I heard there's a lot of things that we haven't, that like Lucasfilms is leaking out little things here and there. They just released an article about that stormtrooper, TR-8R. Traitor! Released, like, information. Like, I want to see, like, that whole thing kind of, like, mirror, like, you know, how, like, did you read the book Fall of Reach? Halo Fall of Reach?
I didn't read it.
It talks about, like, Master Chief growing up with all the Spartans and stuff. That's how I can only imagine, like, the stormtrooper books are. And it's like the sort of same thing. So I can't wait to see what they're going to do with that. But yeah, we'll stay tuned. We're going to be talking about a lot more Star Wars. They've had some more stuff planned out. So come on, what is your new pick?
I was just going to say any indie book, because if you guys don't know, we are an independent type, news media outlet type thing, but we do get, free books and all that stuff. And I vowed when I wanted to go back to doing the comic book reviews like hardcore, that I was going to read more indie books. And a lot of the ones that I've been like just randomly looking at have been really good. Even the ones that like prior I was going to review, but like just because I wasn't doing the videos or the podcast wasn't going on. I'm looking for that new itch, because unlike probably Eric, because I know Eric is very into art. I mean, all of us are very into art. But, like, I'm very story-driven. I want to get a good story. It's been a while since I've had a comic book that gave me a truly good story that I could see, like, be made into a movie. You know, hell, the last one that I remember that was, like, just so good was, I think, Deadpool. You know, The Good, Bad, and Ugly. Like, that was a good fucking story. And it's still with me, you know? Remember The Wake? That was a good story until the end. And then, hell, there was this book that, the name is eluding me because I don't have a piece of paper that has it written down or anything. Load. it was called Postal.
I think I
mentioned it before. That was an image book. That was just it had that tone like any other image book that is in like I guess a murder mystery type thing with a weird town that has a secret, but the main person is autistic. And he's written not as the hero but as an autistic person. Just like nobody gets him because they're not, I guess, educated in that. But, like, things like that. Or, remember, was it called 5 grand or 10 grand?
10 grand, yeah. Grand.
That was an awesome book. Near the end, it started to fall off, and, you know, I gave up on that. But, like, things like that. I want something that, like, that will get me really excited about comic books. Because, yeah, you guys have the Star Wars things, but I saw the Star Wars movie. I guess in the nerd realm, but I like that movie, but that wasn't my favorite movie that came out this year. You know, Creed was my favorite movie that came out this year. And by the way,
That's a good pick.
By the way, did anybody see that Leonardo DiCaprio movie yet?
I heard there's a bear rape.
I saw the movie already.
Was there a bear rape in it?
Bear fucks the shit out of him. But he doesn't rape him. I forgot if we... Did we reference in the last podcast about the bear rape?
I think we did.
I don't know, but I found the original article on the Drudge, or I think it was, and it was the most ridiculous thing. It's like, there's a bear rape in the movie, and it happens twice. Yay! I'm like, oh my god, this is ridiculous.
Well, if you guys don't know out there, just a little side note here, that like... There was an article and then a tweet campaign it just followed up on Twitter that, I'm not going to see the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie because he gets raped by a bear. And I don't want to see Leonardo DiCaprio being raped by a bear. And everyone's saying this so much so that an official memo from Fox, 20th Century Fox, saying... In the new upcoming movie, I forgot what the hell it's called. The Revenant.
The Revenant.
Which it's a good movie and like.
It does look good. I'm not gonna lie.
No, it's good. It fucking dude, Tom Hardy, man, fucking, he sounds like what was his name? Iron Man. Who is Iron Man's bad guy? Big Lebowski. Fucking, he sounds like Jeff Bridges from True Grit, though.
Hey, he has his voice like this, like, I'll take care of him.
And I'm like, that's Bane without the mask. So I'm like, is this the origin story?
Bane's ancestors.
But it's set in the weird thing. Anyway, but they're like, in this upcoming movie, Leonardo DiCaprio does not get raped by a bear twice. Nor does he get raped at all. And
yay.
It's not possible that he could get raped because the bear, in fact, was a female.
Oh yeah, it was a mother. They say in the movie like it was a mother.
I can tell you the scene. Alright, they're trappers. You know what trappers are, right? They for furs and shit.
I heard they trap things.
Yeah, trapper keeper over here. But, like, he's out there, and you see these cubs walk by him, and then this bear literally beats the shit out of him. And I'm laughing my nuts off, because I remember the fucking article. See, he gets raped by a bear, although I know he's not going
to
get raped by a bear.
Both people go to this movie to see the bear.
Yeah, no, because he beats the shit out of him, then the dumbass starts moving and tries to get the gun, and of course, the bear's going to be like, motherfucker, you're not going to hit my cubs. Attacks him again, and then he points the gun at the thing after getting attacked twice and fucking shoots the bear, but the bear tackles him off a fucking cliff and lands on him. So he's, like, almost dead. It's, like, the dead of winter, and I think this is in the middle of, New America. And they're going up mountains, and they're like, we gotta leave him behind. We can't carry him. I'll give whoever stays with him, like, you know, money and... The Tom Hardy guy's like, I'll stay with him. I gotta make up the money somehow. You know, I'll make sure it's all right. If he passes, you know, he passes. Dude, there's a cool scene, though. Like, an asshole thing to do. He's looking at him. And, like, Leonardo's on this, like, stick thing. And he's like, you know, your boar's out here. He's gonna probably starve or get shot because we're all waiting here. You know, just blink and I'll kill you, you know. just tell me that you want it by blinking. And you just see Leo like, fuck. Yeah, and then he blinks and he's like, all right, I'll just do this quickly. And he starts doing it. His son is like, they're going to hate you for this. Oh, because he's a Native American. And so Tom Hardy's like, sure up. He fucking stabs him and fucking throws him, like, I guess behind a tree. And then Then Tom Hardy's like, "Oh, Indians are coming, or we gotta get out of here." With the other guy, he's like, "We gotta get the guy." He's like, "Oh, he's already fucked. Let's go. Indians are coming," and he like throws him in this hole that he already dug to bury him. And the whole movie is Leo trying to get back at fucking Tom Hardy. But I just like how much of a fucking asshole this guy is. But I'm rooting for the asshole because he's fucking right. The guy got attacked by a fucking bear. His leg's fucking broken as shit, right? Like, in just blowing it, I'll kill you. It's so fucking good.
Glad you find humor in the bear rape.
Yeah, because it broke him. Get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, quick, speaking of that movie-wise, I'm guessing that your favorite movie was Star Wars, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For 2015. How about you, Eric? Was it the same?
I feel like yes, but it was a toss-up between that and Creed, because Creed was just epic.
Dude, here's the thing. Like, I didn't watch Rocky Balboa. I watched Creed, but like for some reason I never saw it. So after seeing Creed, I just recently watched Rocky Balboa, and fuck, dude, it makes you like Creed even more because he went through some shit because, you know, Adrian died, and then now like it starts making more sense, and just everything fit in that. And then Jurassic Park was also really good. You know?
Yeah, Jurassic World made me like feel like a little girl.
Yeah, because, dude, for, like, everyone's fandom with, like, Star Wars, that was, like, more so for me because I truly remember that fucking opening day for Jurassic Park in the movie theater. That was one of the first movies I saw in a movie theater. All right, all the tours, and if you just blink, I'll fucking eat you. But, like, Gesundheit.
You're funny.
Yeah, I know, I try. But, like, that just was so good, and I just wish people, like, it seems like a lot of people online have the shortest fucking attention spans. Other than unless you're talking about Mad Max, because for some reason, holy shit, don't understand that, but there is a humongous
fan. That was really good.
It was good, but it wasn't the best movie, because the story was fucking stupid.
I don't know. It was pretty dang good.
Why the fuck did you have a guy on a fucking, just with pyrotechnics and a guitar, and it's in the fucking middle of the wasteland, you're wasting fucking gas.
It was pretty good.
If just blink, I'll give her water.
Oh, God.
It was really good. Mad Max is one of my favorites. I don't know.
It was all right.
The Martian was good. That was another good movie. All in all, the movies this year were good. The comic books really weren't that great, all the encompassing wise. And before we wrap it up, what's another medium? Video games. You know, like what was the best video game you guys think?
That's hard. I played a ton of games this year.
I think Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider was really good.
Yeah, it was. That was probably my game of the year. Mario Maker was my game of the year.
Metal Gear was goddamn fucking stupid, man.
No, it wasn't. That was my
that fucking ending ruined
game.
It.
I haven't beat it.
I'm not gonna ruin it. But the fact is, like, it just that and the whole Kojima thing going on with fucking the hell are they called?
Konami.
Yeah. Because I was so fucking excited because they were going to make that fucking Silent Hill game.
Yeah, that's upsetting, too.
That's bullshit. But, like, yeah. My favorite was Fallout. I loved Fallout, man. It was so fucking good. And then, like, probably number two was probably Mortal Kombat. And, oh, man, I can't wait for those fucking extras with Leatherface and shit. That's going to be fun.
Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Their next pack, because I guess they're going to just release another, like, combat pack. It's going to have the Xenomorph, Leatherface. They're calling him Triborg, but it's all three cyborgs. Like, the fighting styles are each cyborg. And then Baracho, the fat guy that farted and puked in like Deadly Alliance and all that shit. That's the only one I don't give a shit about. But like, just seeing Leatherface in there, it's just like, I'd rather have Sweet Tooth, but this is close. And I love Leatherface, you know, so that was cool. But the Xenomorph having like the claws because he was birthed by Baraka. It was cool.
I actually say, I'm like, okay, there's a reason why it's there.
Yeah, and I guess each fighting style they're hinting is going to be a different ability. That, like, it came out of Scorpion, so he could throw something or something. I don't know what it is exactly. But, I didn't get fucking Battlefront, but I did start playing it on New Year's Day. Because my brother has it.
It's good, yeah. It's just, it's I got tired of it real fast.
Yeah.
I if there was more unlockables other than like their set things, I think I would like buy it and all that shit. But like I already got a first person shooter that I could do that's called Destiny. And I'm fucking sick and tired of that now. I'm sorry. I like getting loot.
You need to get off, you need to take the
Yeah. So anyway, all in all, 2015 was all right, and hopefully with this network, we're going to talk about not only like the video games and movies, of course, the comic books, but like you know a bunch of other shit too. And we'd even bring up the whole big news, you know, the hell is it called? Korea? Well, you didn't know North Korea fucking they tested a hydrogen bomb, and they did it, and now the world is fucking scared.
So we might not be here next week.
No, it's a hydrogen bomb, and plus that probably took forever. China said they didn't know anything about it. Russia was like, we do not approve. I'm like, you guys are fucking, you're just trying to be with the cool people, aren't you? Just because that France thing happened and everyone's, you know, behind France, and it was a sad thing that happened, but I'm pretty sure that when 9/11 happened, a lot of people in France fucking were happy. Like, and they were against us going against Afghanistan. But oh well, that's world politics for you. So we're gonna have a whole bunch of these things. Hopefully you guys can join us live. We kind of didn't have a set time when we were going to do this. Like, between us we did, but not, like, officially. Are you going to start doing videos before we go? You have any plans?
I gotta get back into it. I got a few things to put up. Mostly I'm doing just artwork on Instagram. So if you want to see my shit, go on there. It's Graphic Night Art. I'm trying to do a daily drawing, so it's pretty good, pretty fun.
That's pretty cool. I mean, like, you know, I may want you to draw something.
Yeah, well, I need some ideas, because I've already done it for 8 days, and I'm like, oh, what am I supposed to draw now?
You can do Carnage. Al Jordan. Well, Carnage is cool because, like, you could have a different interpretation of him.
I'm on a Bruce Tim kick right now, actually.
You're on a
Joker.
What?
Bruce
Joker.
Tim kick. Joker, Harley Quinn, Batman, you know.
Oh.
Dude, his artwork looks so simplistic. When you try to emulate it, you have to do it perfectly or else it just looks off.
Speaking of that, I know we're about to leave here, but remember the Green Lantern animated series?
Yep.
I rewatched it, like, you know, a couple days ago, just, like, you know, because it was randomly on my phone, and I was bored. And, my God, that was such a fucking good show.
It was so under-fucking-rated.
So fucking underrated. And everybody remembers Young Justice, but they don't remember the Green Lantern thing because, you know, the stigma from the movie.
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, hey. But, like, the Bruce Timm thing, like, are you talking about the old-school Bruce Timm, like, art? Like from Batman the Animated Series, or are you talking about like the new adventures of Batman and Superman?
And even if you just look up like his artwork in general, like he does a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah. I want my fucking Blackest Night animated movie. Anyway, so you can find you on that. You can find me on the Twitter, as well as Facebook too, Quorum TV, KORIMTV. And I'm going to be starting doing a lot of videos. And yeah, I'm going to try to stick it out. And it's going to be a whole bunch of things. This year, I think I'm just, I don't give a fuck attitude. So I'm going to just be really weird. Not as Carnage every episode weird, because basically everyone would say I have problems.
In Rogue, is he naked? Is he not naked? I don't know. Kind of weird.
Quorum making fun of something and then pausing and then just whips out his phone and he calls somebody. And then you see, then it's me, and I'm calling myself, and Stigmata. Like, what? Like, it doesn't make, I don't know. I got a lot of plans, but yeah. Speaking of plans, just to let you know, Booster at the moment, his connection, he had to leave, so I'll do his plugs after this. But make sure to go to our partner website that hopefully will be upgraded. I was putting content on there. I called hugenerd.net. We're all a part of that as well. And yeah, make sure to go to that website. Also go to our website, thecomicnation.com, where articles are going to start coming in as well, from reviews and editorials and other things, and a whole bunch of fun, exciting things. You could also, make sure to go to that website and follow Booster's writing, because he has a book club thing going on. And as well as, on A Huge Nerd, we're going to start up a somewhat comic club of talking about trades. And we're going to do that on this show, too. Just give you a side note if you guys want some extra content. So, there you go. So, I think this was an alright episode, you know, for, like, thinking it was Thursday, and then I'm like, shit, it's Friday, I didn't plan anything. It was pretty good. So from all of us here on Combination Radio, be safe and keep reading those comic books. So, bye. I don't have an outro. So I'm going to just, fuck, what do I play this? Is it worth it? Let me work it. It was all a dream. It's all a dream.